Please be seated. To what lengths would you go in a desperate situation? Know of individuals who are working second and third jobs to make ends meet or to help save the money for a major need. People go to great lengths for the right counselor, for a situation, for themselves, or for a family member. Know of one instance where one went to a great length and a great risk for surgery. The surgical procedure was considered too risky here in the United States by the AMA. So the individual with a friend flew overseas. His sense was, based on my situation, what have I got to lose? It succeeded, but they were willing to go overseas to undertake a risky procedure to address the health issue. To what lengths would you go in a desperate situation? In our scripture lesson today, we encounter individuals who have gone to great lengths. It takes place in Capernaum. And though Jesus is from Nazareth, Capernaum will become his base of operations. On your cover, you will see the foundations of a house that tradition says is the house, the home of the mother-in-law of the disciple Peter. And that also, that is the place where Jesus was speaking when this occurred. Now, to go to Capernaum today, there is a church built up and over. It's got these big pillars. And I've referenced this church before. It looks like the architect who designed Townies Mall, when the architect got through, went to Israel, okay? It's the screams early 70s in its architectural style. But underneath, they've got the glass. You can look, go down the ground level. You can see it. That's how I got the picture. Now, again, imagine Capernaum in that day. It is a small town or a large, large village. And people are close together. So imagine Mesquite, 1930. Just move it in at about one-fifth the space. Or imagine down the hall here that is a street. And there are about four families live on either side of the street. And then expand that out. And then imagine when they say a crowd, yes, the space was crowded, but the numbers could have been 20 or 30. Think of you all that have been to a an officer's meeting. It could be the session or the deacons in the library. And you know, you feel a little bunched in. Well, imagine a joint officer's meeting, full session, full deacons, trying to have that meeting in the library. You feel a little crowded, though the numbers wouldn't be, when I think of crowd, I think of hundreds. It would not necessarily be that. And that people are looking in. It's still pretty tight, and no one can get in. And then the paralyzed men's friends open the roof. They face an obstacle in reaching Jesus due to the crowd, and they lowered him through the roof. They were like roof raisers. It is interesting to see this scene in The Chosen, how it is demonstrated. Earlier in the series, Jesus turns water to wine at a party, and there's a serving girl there. Later, Jesus encounters a leper. And he says, "My sister was a serving girl. She saw you turn water to wine. You can heal me if you wish." Now, in this scene, the disciples are there, and there's another woman observing. Right before this encounter, Jesus has had a conversation with this woman. She sees it, she runs off. Later, that woman comes with her friends. So it kind of makes sense. This is how people saw things and would tell others and would bring them to the Lord. So there it is. She's saying, "I saw you cure that leper. You can do this." Now that's from The Chosen. That's not from the scripture. They're willing to go to great lengths. In modern times, this might look like friends who go out of their way to help us through difficult times or take bold steps to advocate for us. Your roof raisers. I think of a couple who faced a health issue. Now, it was involved. There were disappointments and there were setbacks. Eventually, they got to the other side. And I remember in their Christmas newsletter, kind of updating the circle of friends. And they said, "You prayed for us when we couldn't pray for us." In a sense, we had been roof raisers for them. Priscilla Shire says, "Sometimes it takes someone else's faith to help us find our own." So point one, the roof raisers. And then we see Jesus prioritizing forgiveness. Jesus' first response was to forgive the man's sin rather than immediately healing his body. Often, we desire physical solutions when the root issue may be spiritual. In our daily lives, we might seek physical or material solutions to problems, but true transformation starts internally. Much is made of Jesus pairing forgiveness with physical healing. Some have said the man's problem was psychosomatic. That's the funny, fancy way of saying it was all in his head. So caught up in guilt over an issue that had impacted him physically. And some would say there was an unconfessed sin that was bearing on him, very similar to the psychosomatic. Some would say it is a combination thereof. Yes, there was a physical issue, and there was a bearing, unforgiving sin. Clearly, he needed healing. And it's very important that here Jesus is claiming to forgive sins, because only God can do that. It's one of his first claims to divinity, to deity. Not everybody getting it at that time, but that's what's going on. Jesus commands the paralyzed man to get up and to walk, demonstrating his authority through a physical miracle. This act also reveals Jesus' power over both physical and spiritual realities. It could be easily both. Yes, there was an issue in his life that needed forgiveness, but truly it was a physical thing, truly physical. Jesus demonstrates power over all. few questions, observations for us to take away. Who are the roof raisers in your life? How has their faith supported you? This is a season of thanksgiving, a time to reflect back over the past year. Who are the roof raisers in your life? And how has their faith supported you? A question to ponder. Are there any areas where you might be seeking external solutions and needing inner healing? And maybe there is an external peace here, but there's an inner peace as well. That's P-I-E-C-E, inner peace as well. Sometimes we pray, Lord, take care of my situation. We also need to be praying, Lord, and change my heart in this situation as well. And third, how can you take action for others? Soon I'll be asking people to sign up as prayer angels for next year's officer class. Something new I've wanted to do, where you'll sign up and you'll be given the assigned name of a sitting church officer to pray for that person. And I hope you're praying for the officers anyway, but it's kind of like the secret power thing. This will be your name. And that's asking you to specifically be praying for that officer or officers during the year. Maybe there is something you need to do for somebody in a physical sense as well. I've seen people respond well over the past year. Meals served, congregational care at work. How can you take action for others? To what lengths would you go in a desperate situation? There are those who have taken second and third jobs, those who have gone to great lengths to get the counseling that is needed or to take care of a surgical procedure. Here we see roof raisers bringing the man, their friend, to Jesus. And today, you can bring your concern to him. Or maybe you need to be the roof raiser. Think about it. Thanks be to God. Amen. I now invite you to stand and let us say we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.